Welcome back, DMP. Welcome back to the NBA. Welcome back, my brother Nathan. Welcome back, my brother Callum.
Wagwan.
DMP podcast out here. Yeah, NBA has finally returned after a whole week of not much happening, to be fair. But it's quite interesting. Obviously, this coincided with last year. It was the when the actual pandemic became real. Gobert started to spread his thing, and everything got shut down. Everything got locked off.
And reminder that that's why no one likes Rudy Gobert.
Why he got picked last in the All-Stars, brother.
By the end of the day, he still got picked as an All-Star after his performance a year ago today. Like, it's madness.
Why he got picked last. He was the last one. You know when you're picking teams at school and everybody and you're the one that gets picked last, he has to have that feeling in his heart.
Can't relate, bruv. Man was a stud. Man was an absolute stud, bruv. Always picked up. Yeah.
Okay. I've been hearing rumors about your actual playing career, and it doesn't
come out
that way. What rumors even here? Yo, Derek,
let me go on mute. Yeah?
let's not discuss these rumors out in public. You know, this is needed. Sunday, everybody, it's a day of joy. I'm not trying to make anyone upset. So, how have you guys been, man? Decent week, Callum.
Yes, sir. Chilling. It's been a mixture of weather and emotions. The sun's out. You're happy. You're enjoying it. And before you know it, there's a downpour. But yeah, nah. Staying busy. Staying happy. That's what it's about. Trying to take as much sport in. I'm on a real kind of Japanese, Korean movie vibe this week. That was a weird one. Follow on from last week. But yeah. What about you, Nathan? How you doing?
Oh, I've been at work, man. It's been peak. We need a universal like week long holiday. Why don't we get like week long like bank holidays?
I think the 3 day, like, I'm ready to, if I go into politics, I'm ready to stand on the platform of 3 day weekends. We shouldn't be four day work week.
Do you feel like home office kind of allows you to have a 3 day
week? Nah, man, we need a full 3 day weekend. It's not fair. But you only have really 1 day off.
But do you not feel like Friday in home office no one really gives a shit?
Nah, man. I mean, you still got to work. You still got to answer emails.
Still got to deliver, and you still have. I think sometimes home office you end up working longer because you end up not doing because I go into our office. Ours is open sometimes. And you have little moments where people come and talk to you, or like you go for lunch or whatever, and that breaks the day up. Whereas when you're doing home office, you're just there working.
And you got to get out on these runs, my guy. We're running.
Nah, man. Allow that.
You need to know.
But yeah, NBA back. So I don't think there's been any crazy games. And I guess the games that I have watched, the quality has been pretty lackluster. Like, you can tell that there's some ring rust. You can tell that there's people just coming back from Miami. Apparently, out of all the players, because they have to track everyone where everyone's going and do the testing, 150 of the NBA players were in Miami. So we know what was going down.
Why was it Miami, by the way? Because the game was in Atlanta.
Florida. No one gives a shit about Florida.
Yeah, but the game was in Atlanta, but the rest of the NBA players had a week off. So they wanted to go and enjoy their lives and do their thing. So Miami was the spot to be at, apparently.
Yeah, Florida and Texas, when it comes to the United States, have the least restrictions, bar none, of COVID restrictions. No masks. You can club, you can party, you can go to a bar. Whereas if you're in a state like New York, or you're in a state like wherever, Los Angeles, California, then you've got more restrictions. It's tougher to do things.
Yeah, I think That was another worry that the NBA had, was not just the All-Star Weekend, because the All-Star Weekend, they can fly them in all in one place, they can do PJ, they can make sure that everyone's kept it, like, pretty safe. Whereas if you have 150 players all going down to Miami to live La Vida Loca, then yeah. But yeah, you can tell that there was a bit of a lag off. The quality looked a little bit off, but certain guys, Jokic looked dominant again. Embiid was looking dominant until he got his injury.
No, talk to me about that. What happened to him?
So Joel Embiid basically, like, having one of his games, I think it was 30 and 12 or something like that, and went up for a dunk and then came down and, like, basically, you know when you can tell that somebody's messed their knee up, it looked like he hyperextended it. So I think everybody was scared it was going to be ligament damage or like a proper, something that could have ended his season. But it turns out it's a 2-week injury, hopefully.
Good.
Still well in Embiid, so I guess you'd probably want to keep him out for a bit longer because he's quite injury prone anyway. So is it about the interesting part is how does that change the MVP narrative? Because he, I would say, was looking like the number one choice. Now, I don't know if it's only 2 weeks, he should be okay. But if it's any longer, it could tilt things a bit.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did Derrick Rose not win it MVP when he was out for like a quarter of a season? Am I wrong in saying that? Like 2012?
Nathan, I feel like you would have better knowledge on that one. I think you're on mute, bruv.
Yeah, I don't recall specifically. I do remember he played a lot of playoff games, though. Yeah. We can look that up.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty rare to win the MVP after being out for such a long period of the season, especially when it's so competitive. Like, we do have a lot of people in the running this year.
Yeah, this year it's not just simply Steph versus LeBron, which we'll get to later. But there is your Giannis, your Embiid, your...
Kyrie's.
Cheese!
Kyrie's.
I saw that face.
I'm sorry, yeah. I'm sorry, Kyrie's not there yet. But I'll be completely honest, I haven't watched the Nets since they've come back, so...
You're saying Kyrie's not there yet, but do you think he still has room, time, and space to improve?
He's not better than James Harden, though. So how can he's not the best player on his team. So I don't know how he can be MVP.
Whoa. It's debatable. This is why the Nets are so good, because they're all really fucking good. I don't think there's really a hierarchy besides like KD and then everyone else, really. I mean, it goes KD, Harden, Kyrie, and then everyone else.
Yeah, pyramid scheme, innit? KD on top. Yeah KD.
But Kyrie's KD holding his own, right? Yeah. I think they've gone like they've won 10 straight now. Kyrie's on 28 points per game.
So the thing with Kyrie is that Kyrie has these moments in like every season. He has like a stretch where he's just ridiculous, and then he has a stretch where he's not there anymore. And then he has
because he usually gets injured,
or he just disappears from.
He gets on annual leave.
But yeah, it'll be cool to see how the actual race starts to shape up now, because in with the Lakers, they're looking a bit. I don't know if LeBron's case is as strong, because LeBron is already going into the season with most people saying, we want to give you the MVP because we feel like we should have given it to you last year. But the way the Lakers are moving without AD, I'm not sure how strong he still looks. Whereas Jokic again, I think watching Jokic is the most fun. I think he's the most fun player to watch.
But I don't think he's ever going to get MVP, sadly.
I think he can get it this year if Embiid stays out, if AD stays out. To me, he's a front runner now.
Was he? I know this has nothing to do with MVP, but was he even a starter in the All-Star game?
Yeah,
for sure. Definitely. OP, that team was mad.
Best All-Star team? Of recent games?
We can touch on that a bit later when we come to Steph versus LeBron.
Yeah. Cool. So, and then another bit of news that happened then. Patrick Ewing, Knicks legend, if anyone doesn't know about this guy, he is probably the greatest Nick in the past 50 years. Is that a stretch?
Best Nick ever, probably.
Porzingis, boy.
Jeremy Lin's definitely top 20 in the best.
Carmelo Anthony was up there too at one point.
Carmelo is easily top three. That's not too much of a debate. But yeah, so Nathan, I think you know a little bit more about this story than me. But yeah, essentially Patrick Ewing trying to walk into Madison Square Garden and getting not assaulted but accosted by security, essentially, is what I heard. I don't know if that's the full story or.
I mean, it's pretty much it. I mean, have you seen Patrick Ewing's face? How do you forget what this guy looks like?
And he's 7 foot 2. He's 7 foot 2. He's a legend. Like, he's the only Nick that's done anything of any relevance in anybody's history. Like,
it goes like Melo, and then it goes Ewing, then Melo. Like,
I'd arguably say that he's also one of the most referenced athletes and songs.
Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
Probably during that era.
Even he still gets referenced today by different rappers from the Knicks, whatever.
How do you get that job without knowing who Patrick Ewing is?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, when you go for like an interview at certain places, they're going to be like, yeah, so what do you know about the company and whatnot? How do you go through that interview process?
So true. So what? Oh my God, I feel like going to work for Nike and you're like...
No. I can understand that. Think of like, you guys remember G4S, the security systems?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so effectively you would sign up for G4S and you would do your training and whatnot, and then you just get told to be at a venue. So whether that's a music concert or sports performance, whatever, if that's the exact same thing there, they're like, okay, do you know what you do? The Yankees games, you do the New York game, whatever.
I feel like if you live in New York, there's an annual working. Also, maybe if this is done in a vacuum, this is one thing. I don't know if it would be such big news, but the reason why it is so big is because James Dolan has a history of treating ex-players like shit. So Charles Oakley, basically, who's another Knicks legend, essentially got chucked out of Madison Square Garden. And Dolan, the owner, pretty much hasn't done anything. He's not a player's type of owner. So it's, I don't know,
this is the same James Dolan who had an issue with, what was it, his daughter or one of his girls talking to like the big black athletes?
That's the ex-Clippers boss. I've forgotten his name now. But James Dolan basically, his dad was a ridiculously rich guy who owns Madison Square Garden. And so because they own Madison Square Garden and Knicks, he's just ridiculously rich. But he's one of those like rich kids who is an idiot. I think he has a country and western band that plays at the Garden sometimes. They're horrendous as well. Like, he's just one of those guys. And
them Jordan, turn them lights down low.
Yeah. I'll send you guys some of his tracks if you want. But he's one of those guys that he's got a chip on his shoulder because no one respects him. So people, like last year, everybody was like chanting, sell the Knicks. And this one guy, he pointed out, and this guy's been banned from the Garden for the past season or so. So he's got a bad track record, and it looks bad.
He also never offered Ewing the job, actually, as Knicks manager or coach, which is a bit of a mad thing, given he's quite obviously the best Knicks player ever. And he has been coaching since like 2010 or whatever. Listen, I think he's coaching in college right now, isn't it?
I think this is a subject we can touch on like in the future, in the sense of just because you are a good player, does that automatically make you a good coach or a good manager?
Well, you have to look at the Knicks, isn't it?
yeah, it would have been a good opportunity. But there's like many opportunities where I'm like, wow, purely because of your name, you've reached that role, both in basketball, football, whatever. But yeah.
Steve Nash is coach at the Nets. Mm. How's he getting that sort of opportunity before Patrick Ewing at the Knicks? Bearing in mind, the Knicks have been pretty much irrelevant and crap since. since my whole life.
Like the Knicks are having a nice season. They're having like one good year out of the past like 15 years of pain. So fair and like let them have that, but you have to separate them a little bit from their ownership structure, which is a joke. But yeah, I don't know if there's much more to say about that. Like he's an idiot. He's gonna do idiotic things. Yeah. So, and then on the subject of idiotic things, Myers Leonard, your guy.
My guy. This is all very, this is all very funny.
You should be saying that.
Because it's actually super funny because I don't know if you follow like House of Highlights and all these kind of like NBA kind of like content pages on Instagram, you would have noticed that they love my guy, Myers Leonard. They bred him all the time. They're like, yo, he's not playing, but he's putting in work. He's doing all this stuff outside the game. His missus is also like lovely and she plays sports as well. Like I saw it just the day before. They're like, they're breading his girl for like taking shots, for like shooting some shots in her back garden. So it was super funny for like Myers Leonard to be on, what was it, Twitch? Doing like
a game, online esports. Gaming platform
streaming, which is basically his main occupation because man doesn't play basketball.
Bank people make off that just off donation alone.
Yeah, he's making peas, but that's his main occupation, bro. The man's barely a bot. He's not even a role player. Like, did we see him play in the bubble?
No, not at all.
Was he injured?
Streaming.
He's also like not very playable in the playoffs. Like. I think he's a defensive liability.
He's absolutely crap.
But you know they signed him. They signed him this year to a $9.4 million contract.
You need those guys in the locker room, innit? Like the intangibles, right?
Oh man, that's a dream. I need to. Fuck man, you guys are tall. Like go and do some locker room shit. $9.4 million. It's a mad tip.
I said go do some locker room shit. But coming back to Myers Leonard, so basically he was on Twitch playing Warzone, and I think I showed you guys the video, but it's super funny because he gets someone head tops him, so he gets killed in whatever, and he looks at the situation, he says something, and he thinks for a moment. Like he's, remember the video, like he holds it for a moment, yeah, and goes,
it was the pause that got me.
And then he goes for the K word, and I'm like, that's not even, you know, when you have an album drop, everyone knows certain songs in an album, you know what I mean? Who dropped recently? Drake drops an album, you're gonna hear like all the singles, you're gonna hear God's Plan, everyone's gonna know those tunes. That's probably the equivalent of the N word. Man came with the K word, so he came with like the album cut. Right, you know what I mean?
The deep derogatory term to the words the Jewish community.
You also said you don't know what it means.
I know what
honestly, that's what I'm saying. I had to clear that up there because it's not a word that I've ever came across.
If you're in America, like America,
I've never heard that word. More sensitive. No, I never came across it.
America has a lot more sensitivity to how Jewish. The Jewish community is treated because they have a massive Jewish community there. So I don't buy that. I'm sorry, man. That's like saying somebody who uses the C word, like the.
But then I'd argue. That's
what I mean by album cut. Like, man knows the album, bro. Man went through the Rolodex of racial slurs. And
if you've got that word in your mind, it's not a random word. Like people don't say.
He didn't just go, you fucking.
Well, it's not on those songs. Like that said, if we use the album cut reference, it's not on no albums. Like, who says the K word in any song? Nobody. So you know that word. You know what it means. There's that. That's bullshit, man. He's coming from a position of like entitlement, man. He doesn't. And like, if you're saying that people are giving him all this praise for just being himself, and he's getting almost a $10 million contract, and you're a bench warmer. It's he seems like he's just too comfortable in his life, man. He needs to get a bit of pain.
I play Call of Duty all the time. Like, it gets heated. Sometimes you get lost.
Was that you that took his head off, yeah?
Yeah, bro. It could have been me. You never know, but like, you get lost in the moment. You know what I mean?
Send me your PSN.
I will do. You're going to see me pop up on that Twitch stream, yo. But you get heated in Call of Duty, innit? And like, sometimes you might say something in the heat of the moment, like, me, my go-to is like, oh, you N-words.
If I had 10 cent for every time I said cunt, think Call of Duty, I would be a millionaire by now.
Bro, it gets heated, but you don't say something like that. Like, I'm not saying any sort of like racial slur regarding any other type of people. And when I say the N-word, it's usually like a term of endearment. Man came out of the K-word and... He didn't even apologize afterwards, like.
And I guess the big thing is, like you mentioned before we jumped on the pod, his boss is Jewish. His like the owner of the Miami Heat is Jewish. His coach is Jewish. His GM is Jewish. Like, there's
he decided not to take the knee as well during the bubble last year. When his whole team took the knee, he was like the only big white dude of the fucking. You know someone's a redneck when they got the sideburns. Like, no, respectfully kind of, innit? If you see man's sideburns, like, man, they come out here. They come out like Wolverine. You know my guy's got, like, the Confederate flag on his car.
Probably, like, shotguns, cans of beer. Like, didn't he do a thing for shotgunning a can of beer? Or, like, doesn't he shotgun it, like, at ridiculous speed or something? I think
you can't beat a good shotgun. Regardless of who you are, you can't beat a good shotgun. A nice refreshing. Hey, man, like Nathan's going to a nice exotic place next week or next month. I guarantee you man's going to be shotgunning beers.
But not at the level of speed and efficiency that this guy did it.
Competence.
Regardless, I need to see footage of Nathan shotgunning a beer.
Yeah, you will.
Man.
Shout out to my friend, though.
Yeah.
You think he'll get traded?
So the reason why he sort of brings stats into this, but the reason why I guess they gave him this contract is because usually when you want to trade for a good player, you want to have a matching contract to trade for them. And so they've given him this big contract because they were thinking that maybe they would package him as part of a trade, maybe for Giannis. Somewhere down the line, so
Giannis.
Well, yeah, I guess not. You know how you get, like, they might trade a few picks and then, but they need to put salary in there, so they'll put like Dragic and Leonard in there just to make up the salaries. So like, if you can get 10 million just to be sort of salary fodder, then good work. But yeah,
isn't this how it works in the NFL as well? Basically, like, the backup quarterback was just eating.
The dream job, third team goalkeeper for a football team, kicker for the NFL team. Like, those positions, you just come in, train, do your thing, get paid, walk home.
Yeah, see you guys tomorrow.
It was like second division English Premier League or third division English Premier League, whatever. The backup goalkeeper for a team was like caught eating a pie, like during the
and that guy was like, "Yeah, I'm clearly not coming on ever." This is fat dude, isn't it? Fat dude of a ballad. He looks like a shit. <It's>
like, pie.
Steak is
depending on it. Mid game.
So, on the topic of racial slurs, we're gonna say debate whether to actually include this, but yeah, Papa John's. Papa John doing Papa John shit. So if anyone doesn't know, Papa John, CEO or founder, was fired, 2 years ago, I think?
Because
he basically used the N-word during a company call. And he thought he was like, it was all fine. And so now he's gone on a podcast and he's just like, and not sorry, didn't apologize for anything. It was just like, yeah, the board were all against me and they conspired to fire me. It's like, You said the N-word, bruv. There's no conspiring that was needed. Like, there was no conspiring. But anyway, so, and then he came out and said, yeah, he's been spending the past 2 years trying to get the N-word out of his language. I was just like, dude, who spends two years to get the N-word out of your vocabulary? How deep entrenched was the N-word have been in his vocabulary?
Vocal exercises, putting Paris by Jay-Z and Kanye West on and looking in the mirror and being like,
the first time he used the N-word was doing an internal sensitivity training conference call. And then he used an example of like Colonel Sanders using the N-word without any
Jesus.
Yo, it's deep.
Sorry, Callum, I know you're a good guy, but white guys sometimes the level of like just
I see it is there's a level of you're doing it with the intention to offend, which is effectively the worst way to do it, or you're doing it in the sense of Papa John or whatever, where it's just complete ignorance. You're not necessarily doing it with the intention to offend, but you're doing it without thinking. But you're just ignorant.
But if this, it's the thought process that I can be ignorant. I can say some ignorant shit. It's the confidence that it's not the okay. People make mistakes and people step up. It's the confidence, like the Myers Leonard thing. The guy said it. Like he knows that he's streaming. It's not just that it was a thing between, this is a private conversation between him and his friends and he dropped the K word. This guy knows that he's streaming and he drops the K bomb. And then this guy, the Papa John's guy, he knows, he just the confidence to,
no consequence.
I can be ignorant and not think about the consequences. It's mad.
And I think that is partially like part of it is like, okay, do you know what? Myles Leonard or Papa John have said it so many times behind closed doors to whoever, whatever, and there has been no consequences. So it's like, you'll know it yourself, like whether you're saying Wagwan or the way you'll say whatever to someone, like just in your typical day slang, then you'll go have a conversation with your mother or your grandmother and then you'll accidentally say shit or you drop something. Like,
the only thing I compare it to is the F word for the gay community. Like as soon as that word is like become offensive, it never comes into my mind. Like I'll never use it. It may have been something I know
Eminem's a great example. Yeah.
Like Eminem would use it constantly and it was something that was maybe in the vocabulary, but as soon as you realize, all right, this is offensive to people, just don't say it. I don't say it in private, I don't say it in public, I just don't say it. So I don't know, it's just weird that you have these people who've like they've been caught saying this shit, but the confidence is mad. But anyway, Nathan, I feel you want to say something.
I just find it interesting again because it's been a funny couple of weeks because we've also had like the whole royal family thing. And then you had the whole kind of conversation around the royal family thing. So the whole Piers Morgan's and the whole like Good Morning Britain's and all these various conversations. And I think one of the phrases that stuck with me was the term casual racism.
Yep.
So like there was a woman on, I can't remember what show it was, and she was just kind of referring to how sometimes like people can just be casually racist. So like racist without using or without intending to be offensive or just using the term that they're familiar with, you know? And it's a bit of a mad thing because I don't know what casual racism is. Like, you can explain it to me, but I still don't know what casual racism is. Like,
yeah, I understand it, but I wouldn't necessarily refer to it as casual racism. I'd refer to it as like generational racism. In the sense that what my grandmother might refer to ordering a Chinese meal would nowadays be considered offensive.
But these words have been offensive for ages.
Exactly. But it wasn't as necessarily publicized or it wasn't as widely known 50, 60 years ago.
I can't buy that because 50, 60 years don't just pass like that, bro. You've got children, you've got grandchildren, you've got people coming in and out of your house. You've seen like the local guy at the corner shop, you've seen him the Indian dude and his family. Like, you're seeing the Asian family down the road. You're seeing black people in your local area. Like, times change. There's no way you can think, oh, me saying the N-word is casual.
Yeah. That's a different thing, though. As I say,
even when I say it online, I'm like, everyone in my party better be black. You know what I mean? Like, it's but again, that's probably a deeper conversation as to how people kind of.
But I do think, like, is that what it's not a deeper conversation we necessarily have to go into right now, but the whole Black Lives Matter movement, like Breonna Taylor, George Floyd situation, mm-hmm. that really like elevated it in people's thoughts and memory, or not memories, but like thoughts and daily life processes effectively, really sparked like a moment of awareness. And that has kind of continued, which is like good to see. There's been lots of conversations about it. And like, I think it's just good that people can talk about it now, and it's not something that, yeah, okay, now you're talking about casual racism, or yeah, you're talking about Papa John, this, that, but it's being talked about. It's not just being like, oh, he said that, forget about it, you know?
Right in mind, I'm not saying like Papa John's, I'm calling him Papa John. Like, let's just call him John. His name is John. His name's like John Schnatter or something, isn't it? And I think it's kind of funny because, I mean, this kind of comes up because he's kind of a meme in itself now. I don't know if you've seen this guy's face, but he looks like he's always sweating. Wait, Google his face right now. Just Google Papa John and you'll see what I mean. He just looks like a very sweaty guy. And in general, he did say he's been trying to get it out of his vocab for like 20 months.
How deep is this into your vocab? That's the issue for me is,
yo, I expected the dude to be like so much older.
No. He's had a lot of work done. He's
a billionaire, bro. He's
had a shitload of work done.
Yo, man, looks like fucking plastic.
Hey, look at how he's sweating when he says he ate 40 pizzas in 30 days. But at the same time, yeah, he's a meme. I don't know if he's actually racist. He seems to be like one of these general Americans. He seems to be like very undereducated in certain areas. I find it more funny than offensive. Like, what do you mean you're taking 20 months?
I'm not offended by it. Like, but I'm just like, dude, what? So 2 years ago, you realized that the N-word was an offensive word. And then now, so what was he using? He must have been using it like he'd stub his toe and go, N-word. Like, he...
Man's like, yo, I can't say vinegar anymore. I'll get triggered.
Flipping hell, man. Flipping heck.
He's like, yo, I've been trying to listen to like rap music and stuff, but I can't.
Yeah, he's only... he's not an old guy.
No, man.
He's of an age where he should have known fucking... Like, when he was having an upbringing, not to use it.
I think if you grew up in America and you're awake, you know when you know if the N-word is offensive or not. That's even if you're 70, 80 years old, there's no...
But I don't think he's saying whether it's offensive or not. I think... Okay, actually, I'm not going to defend this guy, actually. I'm just looking at his whole, like, background.
That man's cancelling that margarita he ordered 2 minutes ago.
No, fuck that, bro. His mum's a real estate agent and his dad's a judge. Our guy's privileged down to the socks. With German ancestry. Get the fuck out of here, bro. Get the fuck out of here.
Papa John Schnitzel coming soon.
So I think we have a little bit of time left so we can get into a quick debate. So Nathan, you threw into the chat earlier today. Do you think what's more likely? Another Steph Curry or another LeBron James?
Yeah, that kind of came about after watching the All-Star game again.
Okay.
And I kind of realize
an incredible question.
You just watched kind of like LeBron and Steph playing together for the first time. And it's kind of probably the only time I've kind of seen them play together, actually. And you got to watch the game without all of the narrative of like LeBron versus Steph that you usually have. And I think there was one moment where like LeBron had like a little, he drove to the byline and then he kicked the ball back all the way to the logo. And then Steph took a shot from the tee on All-Star. And I was like, yo, actually, How does Steph make shooting look so easy? Is that genetics or is that training? Because I'm pretty sure, actually, if I train even twice as hard as Steph, I would not be able to hit a shot like that from a tee so comfortably. I could train three times as hard. That's a genetic blessing. That's a God-given talent. But same with LeBron. Like,
see, that's exactly my argument. That's exactly my argument. Another Steph or another LeBron. I would say by completely agree with you, it's a mix of genetic skill and time that you've put in. But I would say it is easier to become another Steph Curry than it is another LeBron, because Steph Curry is not the tallest guy. He's not the strongest guy. He's not the fastest guy. However, he is a very good shooter. So if you really focus on your basketball IQ, you hit the luckily genetic lottery of being 6'2" to 6'6", somewhere in that range, you're fit, you're healthy, and you're coordinated, which a lot of people are, then get in the gym, practice your shot, you can be Steph Curry, quote unquote. LeBron James, you really have to hit the fucking genetic lottery. You have to be 6'6" from an early age, 15, 16 year old 6'6" athlete. Then you need to build on that for years and years and years and years to be the legendary athlete that you are. LeBron James is more than a basketball player. He is an athlete. Steph Curry is a basketball player.
I don't know what the difference is.
I would argue you put LeBron James on a rugby game, he would compete. You put Steph Curry in a rugby game, he'd get flattened. You put LeBron James.
LeBron James can't play rugby. You're lying.
But he can play NFL. LeBron James
could. Steph Curry could probably play football.
Yeah, so could LeBron James.
Yeah, you see what I mean? I don't know if LeBron James can play football. You know what I mean? Like, it's weighted a bit differently. I hear what you're saying about LeBron James being like a genetic lottery. Yeah, as you said, he's pretty much every single thing you want. But for me, it's more than like the body. It's LeBron's a mental phenomenon.
Agreed.
That's the main thing, LeBron, because you're in the NBA. Everyone is a transcendent athlete. You've got loads of athletes who are like clear. I can name them off. Right, look at Zion. Zion came out just the other day. You've had Shaq. You've had loads of guys who dominate physically. But LeBron is kind of like the mental game. He's just probably the smartest guy on the court.
Agreed.
90% of the time. And that's why he's so effective to me. With Steph, I'm sorry, I don't think any amount of training could give me the comfort in terms of shooting that Steph has.
I would also argue that LeBron is the first of his kind. You've not had a powerhouse like LeBron prior in the league. Yeah, you've had, as you said, Shaq's a great example. The IQ. Whereas yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll give you that. And Michael Jordan, LeBron. With regards to Curry, you do have your Larry Birds, for example, who in his generation was Steph Curry. You know, you have your shooters that come and go.
So Jordan,
Steph is more than just a shooter, bro. Come on. I mean, Derek,
he is mainly a shooter, though. He's a shooter and a finisher. He's not a basketball savant like LeBron. He's not a physical specimen that can bulldoze people. He's a shooter, and then he's someone that can finish at the rim at a ridiculous level.
So Steph Curry is none of what LeBron has, but he's still dominating the game. How is that more likely to be repeated? You know what I mean?
I can see where you're coming from, but the one thing that makes me think it's more likely that a Steph Curry will be there is the way that the three-point shot has become such a big part of everybody's development. So beforehand, you could have two or three players on a team who don't know how to shoot a three-pointer, and then maybe one or two who could, and then that was fine. Now every single person has to. So if you're saying that from the age of 5, anyone who starts playing basketball, they start perfecting their three-point shot. Yes, then you have the average level of people doing three-pointers will be a lot higher, but then the guys who are special will be even higher than what we've maybe seen before.
But so we're talking, we're talking about the NBA though. So the vast majority of people are going to be in the NBA, as I've said, are going to be athletic marvels. They're going to be absolute specimens. They're going to be the top 0.5% of people their size on the entire planet. So like,
LeBron at his size, but with his agility and his speed, that's and his handle, that's not normal.
And like, look at Giannis.
LeBron is the size of a center, and he moves like a point guard.
You've seen several players like this. We've got to me, I see more players in the NBA now, even joining the NBA now, whose game is more based on LeBron than I do Steph. I think we'll see maybe
I have an argument directly to that, which is LeBron has been in the league. LeBron, when we were playing basketball as kids, we looked up to, we wanted to play like LeBron. Steph Curry, when we were teenagers, wasn't about.
Steph Curry had already changed the league.
Yeah, but not when we were 15, not 10 years ago.
I think Steph has had a bigger change because now all teams like 3 point, 3 point, 3 point. So if you're going to get into this team, if you're even going to even survive on this team, you need to have a 3 point shot. So
people, yeah, but I mean, Steph like isn't just a 3 point shot. Like we keep saying, he's just a shooter. Have you seen Steph shoot? Coaches will go out of their way to tell kids, do not shoot like Steph, because you can't do it. You know what I mean? That off the dribble with a quick release, being undersized, with is it arm strength? How does he like leverage the ball across the court like that? But it's not easy. You know what I mean? If you want to take a deep 3 point shot, you're gonna wind it up and you're gonna throw it. Steph doesn't do that. He does a little between the legs, behind the back, and that's in from the logo. LeBron can't do that. There's two players can do that consistently, and that is Steph and Dame.
But the thing is, you're saying that the form is crazy, but I was watching LaMelo last night. The guy dropped like 5 threes, and his form is ridiculously wrong. But what I'm saying is he's probably been sort of pushed to develop that 3-point shot to a point where he's got it to a decent level. There will be someone that comes next who has a mad 3-point shot, but they've just been consistently developed. I just feel that you can train that level of accuracy. Not in everybody, but you can.
I feel like if you're a decent scout, you can find LeBron lights everywhere. You've got Giannis, you've got the Ben Simmons, you've got the Zions. You know what I mean? Like these guys.
Zion's never going to be a LeBron. As much as I love Zion, he's never going to be a LeBron.
What do you mean by a LeBron?
I would say Giannis is never going to be a LeBron. He's never going to be able to.
LeBron, Zion is a second year All-Star.
Yeah, but
we're talking about with LeBron. Are you taking into account the fact that LeBron is also better than smarter than most coaches in the NBA in terms of knowing what to do?
Yeah, I'm talking about LeBron can literally dunk on anyone in the league if he wants to. From an athletic standpoint, he can, when he's given his time, do his one bounce 3-point shot, which is pretty regular these days, and he's also got the IQ level higher than a lot of people.
LeBron's shooting like 25%, 30% or something again from from three this year.
But
he's been working on that three. LeBron's been working on that three since Miami, and he's still
shooting 3-point shooter, but he's still shooting 1-4.
That's not great. Especially if you give
Giannis's percentage to compare them. Then.
Zion's scoring percentage in terms of
3-point percentage
from three. Zion doesn't take those shots, neither do Giannis.
Because
that's going to come later in the game because they're not as good at it. Same way LeBron wasn't taking this shot until post Miami, when he really, really, really started working on it, and he's still nowhere near as good. I'm not even going to mention Steph because like Steph is obviously quite clear, but there's loads of like 3-point shooters that are comparable to LeBron in the league. And that's where the league is.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying LeBron James is not a 3-point shooter, but you're saying there's 3-point shooters comparable to LeBron.
I'm saying like, yo, so we're talking about 3-point shooters from Steph's perspective. We're saying like, yo, if you just need to learn a 3-point shot and at some point you'll get to Steph's level. I'm saying Steph's level when it comes to 3-point shooting is so far beyond anyone else at 3-point shooting. It's a mad thing. That's what I'm saying. It's almost genetic. It has to be genetic because, as I said, LeBron's the GOAT. So it's not just going to the gym and putting up numbers. LeBron has gone to the gym for the last 6-7 years. He's been putting up numbers. Like, yo, I've got to be shooting this shot. I need to expand my game. He's still not even 20%, 30% as good as Steph Curry from three.
No.
So that's when I say, yo, actually, when you see Steph Curry doing this with his meaty 6'2", 6'3", self, spaghetti noodle arms, light skin, and you see him shooting from the T on the All-Star logo, you're like, that's not really fair. But that's my opinion. Because again, like, you'll have guys who can dominate physically like LeBron. I'm sorry, you're going to have more like that.
Okay, so let's round it up. One word answers. Derek, do you see it more likely for another Steph or another LeBron?
I still think another Steph.
All right, Nathan?
I'm not going to give an answer.
Honestly, I'm sorry. I need to say something. We'll argue for like 25 minutes about something and then doesn't say where he stands. Put your nuts on the table, bro.
I think they're both really good players.
Oh, my days.
All right, see, I'm a Derek, so it's Steph. Another Steph it is.
Okay, well, Steph is it's Steph then.
Definitely.
Okay, do we want to talk about Blake Griffin or we'll leave that to another time?
Blake Griffin going to flame out at Nets. I don't know what he's doing there. You... I don't know why everyone's excited about Blake Griffin at the Nets. I
don't get that one.
KD that recruited him as well.
Sorry?
It was apparently KD that recruited him.
KD be recruiting everyone. But are you excited by that? I'm not really excited. Blake Griffin's been whack since...
So the last year he was good was what? The 2018-2019 season. And I thought he was going to come back and be that version of himself because last year he was injured. But he looks bad. Like, it's... he doesn't look good. So I don't know.
You can't dunk anymore. And that's the only reason anyone ever liked Blake Griffin. For being real, isn't it? Like, cool guy, but like, man dunked over IKEA one time.
I'm gonna say my controversial opinion, and usually these are wrong, like when I said Russell Westbrook's gonna flame out, but I said bad about Kyrie. Kyrie's one of my favorite players. He's just a bit weird. But anyway, I think Bruce Brown will get more minutes than Blake Griffin.
I said Bruce Brown.
I think he will. Bruce Brown looks like he's doing a decent little job, bro. He'll get more minutes.
Yeah.
Is Blake Griffin allowed to be on my team?
Hmm?
Is Blake Griffin allowed to be on my team? The athletic white boy team?
No. He's not athletic anymore. So if you want to do that, you can do that.
No, he's not. He's mixed race.
Okay. What about Zach LaVine?
I don't know. I don't know what Zach LaVine is, to be honest.
Zach LaVine is mixed race as well. He's clearly not white. What are you trying to do, Clan?
So, for anyone who's listening still at this point, before, when we first started the pod, we had tried to put together a 3-on-3 team and have with white athletic players from all time, and we were struggling. So, Kyle has been making it his mission to figure out how to recruit people for his team.
It's an ongoing struggle. Like, names will pop up week by week.
All right, yo, Callum, give you a little rule. If your dad is white, then you count as white.
So you're not saying that mothers and fathers are equal, or
no. It's got to be the dad. If the dad's white, then
dad's white. Jesus.
No, I'm joking. Zach LaVine doesn't count. Neither does Blake Griffin. And I think the most athletic white dude of all time.
So you're not giving me any of the Ball brothers.
Dante DiVincenzo.
Dante DiVincenzo, that's peak. No, he's not.
I think you're on mute, Nathan.
There was one guy at the Bucks, actually. He was in a dunk contest and he looked pretty decent. That should be your go-to guy. Wait, let me see if I can find him.
If we don't know his name, then he's not my go-to guy. I'm sorry.
Well, he was in a dunk contest, bro. That's
I can take Jokic. I can take all of these boys.
Whoa, Pat McConaughey. Pat Connaughey. Pat Connaughton.
Pat Connaughton. No.
Yo, that guy can dunk, you know.
He's got hops, though.
got hot.
Yeah, bro, that's athleticism. And he's same height as 196.
Yeah, no, he's not that. He's not super tall. He's actually like he's actually got hops. So I like Pat Connaughton, but
196 is taller than me, bro.
When you watch NBA, you can't tell sometimes, man. Like Steph, we say is small, but Steph is still like 6'3", no?
Steph's all right. Yeah.
It's all on you.
So, all right, man. Well, we'll leave you for homework, Cal. And maybe you can start practicing and get yourself onto the team yourself.
Yeah.
Should we do like a 2K tournament of some sort? The DMP 2K tournament?
I'm saying we do a first one tournament, three of us against Myers Leonard first.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say.
Myers Leonard is kind of athletic, innit? Yeah, you can have that. Yeah, Myers Leonard.
Yeah, I don't want that, bro.
But is that it for today, boys?
Yes, I think that's it, guys.
We need to start closing on some music or something.
Good chat. if you guys have a song that you want to like promote or whatever.
Every week it's like, yo, is that it? Yeah.
Yummy, 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 yummy. It was vibing.
I'm not playing that for the people. I'm sorry. It was up. Cool. But yeah, thanks again, guys. Catch you next week. DMP, we are out.